Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motor Studio here momentarily. In the Sunbury Motor Studio East, it's Kevin Hearn along with Bob Buhner. Mr. Buhner, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Kevin. A beautiful Tuesday here in the central Susquehanna Valley.
Boy, is it ever.
You know, it's almost like baseball season or something, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot different than when the Phillies were in the World Series and they had the two flaps down hat.
Exactly.
No baseball hat, by the way, should have flaps. It's just wrong.
It is wrong. It is a beautiful day. If we had the Pirates or the Phillies in the National League playoffs, it would be a great time for baseball.
Instead, we're talking about a young player for the Dodgers who obviously did something that some people are a little upset about. I have not seen the video yet, and I know this was highly talked about with Puig's antics last night after hitting the triple and then at the plate kind of posing. I have not seen the video yet, but from what I've read and what I've heard on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today, I kind of agree with Dan Patrick in theory that sliding into third, you know, clapping, however sarcastic it may have looked at or whatever, I think that's okay. I mean, celebrate it. But the posing definitely would have an issue with that.
Well, there's been some criticism of Puig throughout the season for these types of actions. However, I think he's, an 18 or 19-year-old kid.
See, that's the thing you got to remember.
And he's also from Cuba. He came here, emigrated here. I don't know if he got on a boat or a submarine or how he got here. But, you know, he was raised in a different baseball culture in that sense. And he may not know all of the ways and wherefores and wisdom of the National League or the national pastime of the U.S. So I give him some slack.
Yeah, give him. I agree with that. Give him a little bit of slack here. But, you know, when you talk about doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing in sports, I had a story that I wanted to share. It's an Andover, Massachusetts senior volleyball player. Her name was Erin Cox. She was suspended for 5 games and stripped of her captaincy after driving to pick up a friend who was too drunk to drive, according to the reports.
Yeah.
The school punished her after the incident about 2 weeks ago. She received a call from a friend who was too drunk to drive home from a party. She arrived to pick her up. Police were already there and arrested several people for underage possession of alcohol and warned others, saying they would be summoned to court for drinking. Her mother told the Boston Herald that her daughter was among those summoned, despite the fact that the officer there vouched for Aaron's sobriety. Eleanor Cox filed a lawsuit hoping to reverse the school's decision, citing a written statement from Neely, but the court ruled Friday that it had no jurisdiction over the matter. I had a couple of questions. This brought up a thought that happened, or an incident that happened in Jersey Shore a year or two ago.
I know it well.
With students that were not able then to graduate.
Right.
Now, and it also comes back to an issue in Selinsgrove Grove with what Coach Dave Hess decided to do a few years ago in removing players from the team because they broke a code of conduct rule. And that was a code of conduct that was handed out, explained early in the season.
I have to tell you, Kevin, you know, I prosecuted cases, including a few underage drinkers in my day for 20 years. It is stunning to me what happened up in Massachusetts, because we should applaud and hold up as good examples of someone who goes and prevents a drunk from getting in a car and driving home.
Seems to do the right thing anyway.
It is the right thing.
Here's my thought on that. Okay, I understand if you have a code of conduct. All right, I get that.
Sure.
But I don't see how this breaks the code of conduct to where you would be stripped of your captaincy or whatever in the athletic event. Now, if she were found drinking at the party and that's your code of conduct and that's in your code of conduct, then fine. That is, I see that as being okay. It's unfortunate. I know everybody makes mistakes, and I know there were a lot of people, especially in Selins Grove, that were upset because some players lost their senior year. I get that.
Sure, and I do too. Although I have to tell you two things that I thought came out that I noticed about the whole incident down in Selins Grove. Number one, my respect for Coach Dave Hess tripled because he had a code of conduct, everybody signed it, and he, to the detriment of his one loss record, did the right thing by holding students accountable, teaching them a valuable life's lesson, and the school board down there properly backed him up. And Dave Hess was more concerned about teaching young minds about doing the right thing than he was about his own wins and losses.
And this is not the same thing to me. This particular incident is not the same thing to me.
No.
And Steve Jones joining us.
Steve is here.
I don't know anything about the Selins Grove incident, so I'm going to shelve that because anything I say would be ignorant. When it comes to this incident, if it is as reported, okay, say all the facts in that story are line up correctly, okay, this is as ignorant a decision as I've seen. No tolerance policies show no leadership. Leadership is the ability to sit there, think, and then make decisions. No tolerance policies, okay, take all the pressure off the leaders. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a no tolerance policy. That's good. No. Okay. I'm sick and tired of being around people who don't have common sense, and I'm sick and tired of being around people who want to take that. A no tolerance policy, people, is the easy way out. Actually having to sit there, examine facts, and make a decision is the hard way to do it. Well, guess what? It's also the right way to do it. Every single story, okay, brings with it its own set of circumstances. There is not one black and white situation that you look at no tolerance. No tolerance is a leadership way of the easy way out. I'm sick of taking the easy way out. And school boards have to sit back and say, you know what, maybe we ought to show some guts and be leaders and examine things the way leaders do and take facts into account when we make decisions and use common sense instead of, I'm sorry, it's a no tolerance policy, because it's the, guess which is the easy way out? The no tolerance policy is the easy way out. Which one ends up in the long term hurting innocent people? No tolerance policies.
Steve, you know, the biggest tool that we advise law enforcement officers, police officers, is the most powerful tool they have is their discretion. And that's exactly what you're talking about. No tolerance is no discretion. And you have to be able to look at the facts, the circumstances on each and every case and judge it accordingly.
If you make a wrong decision based on believing somebody who lied to you, or if you make an incorrect decision based on you didn't have enough facts, okay, that happens. We know that. But when you look at each individual situation, they all have their own circumstances. It takes someone with judgment, okay? And these people are so afraid to make a judgment, so afraid to make a decision, they take the easy way out and go, there's a no-tolerance policy, okay? Okay, we have to get back to being who we are, okay? Instead of always saying, here's the line. Look, the girl, if the story's correct, did the right thing, okay? She showed more leadership. Okay, let's say all the facts in the story are correct. Okay, she showed more leadership than the gutless individual that told her she's off the team.
I agree with you. That is leadership. And we did have one email come in that said that she probably should have left when she found out there was alcohol. But I think the point is, if she were invited to the party, that I could understand that comment. But my point is, she was actually picking up someone from the party. She wasn't at the party as we understand it.
Right. She went to the party to get somebody because they had alcohol.
Right.
Because she didn't want that person driving. Okay? She did what, okay, the three of us would do it. If we found that, if somebody called me up and said, look, I can't make it, right? I'd drop what I'm doing right now and I would go pick them up. You would go pick them up. Bob would go pick them up, right? That's what you do to help out somebody, because I don't want that person driving on the road. And not only do I care about them, but I also care about the people that would also be driving at the same time they are. Okay? This young woman, and again, I go back to if all the facts line up, because we're just doing this off a story.
Assuming everything is correct.
Is correct. This woman showed more leadership than the entire Andover school board and principal combined. Okay? No tolerance policies are actually gutless policies, because it takes all the decision-making off the table.
Exactly. And, you know, we've seen this time and time again where people get accused of a crime and they're thrown off the team, they're thrown out of school, and later on it turns out they weren't involved in a way that would give rise to criminal charges, and the charges are dropped. I just read about a case, and my memory's going on me, but a young man was falsely accused of sexual assault, thrown out of school immediately, obviously thrown off the football team, and 9 months later, all the charges were dropped, and this guy lost his eligibility. He's gone. And his last year and a half were spent in purgatory, frankly. And everyone was rushing to judgment on this guy based on charges, not on guilt. And we hear this all the time, and whether it's in a major sports program or at a local university, where people get charged with something, just because they're charged doesn't mean they're guilty.
I'm still a big believer, Bob, and I think I might be in the minority now, that believes in innocence until proven guilty.
It seems like you're in the minority.
I want to see all the facts in place before I make up my mind on something.
Yes,
that's why when it comes to this story, you notice how I've said if several times, because I want to make sure all the facts are straight for as somebody who's on the outside looking in.
But we've seen this in probably every school, major school in the country has had an episode or two where an athlete, doesn't make a difference what gender, what sport, is charged. And there are people who demand that heads be rolled based on a mere allegation. There's a guy named Austin Scott at Penn State who was wrongly charged with sexual assault.
Right.
And that poor guy, where did he go to get his reputation back? He was falsely accused and prosecuted by a DA who is no longer in office up there. And they ended up being a harassment charge, a summary offense or something like that. And it was well known to the prosecutors that the woman who came forward had, in a similar story against another athlete in the Lehigh Valley, made these similar accusations, which were found to be unfounded. And there Austin Scott lost an opportunity, I think, I'm certain, to play professional football as a result.
You know, that's why you have to be careful. You're playing with people's lives here.
Yep. There's
and
no
again,
question.
if the story is accurate and that she was called, she went over to take them home and not participate in the party because they said she was as sober gets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why, I mean, the police even vouched for the fact she was completely sober.
This is where Mothers Against Drunk Driving need to come forward and give this young woman, a medal.
Yeah, but, this young woman needs to, obviously, she was elected captain because she has leadership ability. Now here it is at a moment where you show true leadership in life. And should the story be as accurate as we think it is, she showed exactly the kind of leadership as to why she was selected captain. right? And yet she gets stripped because of a gutless no-tolerance policy. And believe me, no-tolerance policies are gutless. I mean, they are, because what they do is they take all the decision-making off the table. Sorry, and not only that, you look at me, I'm sorry, but, we have a no-tolerance policy, which is you're out.
I'm sorry, everything has a gray area.
Okay, leadership doesn't have an out. Okay, leadership doesn't have an out, in my opinion. Judgment doesn't have an out, in my opinion. All right. So if you want the big job and you want to run for the big job, or you want to apply for the big job, principal, school board, whatever, guess what? You're going to have to make some tough decisions. Okay. Instead of putting in no tolerance policies and say, I'm sorry, that's off my plate. Okay.
Exactly. And hopefully calmer, cooler heads and voices of reason will come forward.
Yeah. The fact that that poor girl can't play volleyball, and was she wasn't just stripped of her captaincy; she's not allowed to play.
Well,
it's a five game suspension along with the stripping of the captaincy.
Steven, Kevin,
what are they going to give her? 15 if she picked up three kids?
Yeah, just think of this, Steven, Kevin. What message does that send to everybody else up there? If one of your friends has too much to drink and they're going to drive home,
don't get involved.
Yeah,
what it says.
Yeah, let them go. Let them get behind the wheel. Don't pick them up.
The message is terrible. Okay? Okay, I'm the captain of the men's soccer team. Three of the guys who, by the way, shouldn't be there are going to get in trouble. Okay? They're going to get suspended anyway by the coach, let alone what the law thinks. Okay? And I do the right thing and keep them off the road. Okay, by showing up, picking them up, getting them home safely, but at the same time, by doing that, not endangering all the other motorists that are around them as they try to drive. Okay, it's much more than just the individuals you're picking up. It's all the other people. I mean, a friend of mine one time said, we were driving back from the airport one time, and he said, you know what I do? It was like 2, 3 in the morning. And you, as you guys know, there are a lot of airports I come back from at 2 and 3 in the morning because of the basketball schedule. He looked at me and said, I assume everybody at this hour is drunk.
Good thought. Absolutely.
Yeah, he said, I assume everybody at this hour is drunk. And I said, that's always stuck with me that John told me that, John Graham. And you show leadership and do this, right, and they get penalized. All you're doing over and over and over again is looking around and saying, look, just take care of yourself. Don't get involved.
Look out for number one.
That is a brilliant educational message, and I applaud the North Andover School District for that brilliant educational message.
Well, hopefully this story will ultimately have a better ending than it does so far.
But it shouldn't take Good Morning America to get it started. That's the other problem, right?
Well, that's what I mean. It should have started right away with, okay, look, what are the circumstances here?
Yep.
Let me sit down. Let me get your side of the story, right? Let me talk to the police. Now, because you'd love to just take somebody's word for it, but at the same time, let me talk to them. No, she was completely sober. She said she just got there. The other kids of the party said she just got there and did this. Well, you sit there and you look at her and go, hey, whatever her name is, come on back, sit down. Yeah, we took me a couple days, but I was able to talk to the police, talk to other people. You know what? What you did was, that was really a great thing that you did. All right. No need to give her a salute or medal, anything, none of that stuff, okay? But when you're attempting what appears to be what she was attempting to do, the right thing, and gets completely ripped off for it, the message is, stay home. I'm sorry, I'd like to help you out, but, drive yourselves home. If I do, I'll get stripped of my captaincy, and I'll be suspended for 5 games.
I somehow suspect that this story ultimately will have a better ending.
Bob, it shouldn't even be a story.
It shouldn't even get that far.
The story should be that the girl went to help out.
The other thing is, I can understand the court system saying, look, we're not going to get us involved in this. We have to settle these things. We have to settle serious matters. This is for you and the school board to get right.
Good luck. Again, what's a no-tolerance policy? Okay? A no-tolerance policy is not gutsy. A no-tolerance policy takes judgment off the table so that I, as a leader, don't have to get involved. Okay? They didn't want her to get involved, and they, as leaders, don't want to get involved.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2010 Ford Escape XLT, one of the most affordable, fuel-efficient SUVs, just $15,995. A one-owner, newly inspected, and fully serviced 2012 Ford Focus SEL, $13,998. 2010 Dodge Nitro SE comes with warranty. Lowest price promise, $17,989. 2011 Ford F-150 XLT, an outdoorsman and contractor's choice, just $29,494. And a 2012 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter new tires, just $14,993. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Shopping for insurance to save money is not an easy thing. What if I told you there's good news for Pennsylvania residents searching to save money on homeowners, auto insurance, RVs, motorcycles, and more? What if I told you you didn't have to sacrifice local personal service? Then call or visit online the Kratzer Insurance Agency in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, serving the area now for 50 years.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. We are proud to offer Safeco Insurance at a very competitive rate. Some customers have saved as much as 50% off their premium.
Safeco has been around since 1923 and in 2008 became part of the Liberty Mutual Insurance, a name well known and trusted in the insurance industry. Start saving and be safe with Safeco and Kratzer Insurance.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance, price, service, the heart of what they do. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Sunbury Motors. 4th Street Auto Mall, 14's run the lot. And also Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Great to be with you. Buhner's in the house.
Hello there, Steve.
Kevin's in the house.
Great to have you back in the Sunbury Motors studio.
Great to be here today. And in a few moments, we'll talk with Neil Coulon from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Actually, some positive Steeler news. But first, time now for Inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports. It's a very, very, very hard week for Kevin. Very hard.
It is?
Bob?
It is. There's no doubt about it.
Why is this a hard week for me?
Because when it comes to your thought process about where you jump in, normally, yeah. it's what we call WMC. Okay, you're a WMC guy.
I'm a WMC guy?
Whine, moan, and complain. All right, so. Shikalemi won. The Eagles won. The Steelers won. The Phillies didn't lose. And Penn State won. Really? I mean, it's like for you, this is, you just went, I can't participate in the show. I don't know what to do.
Well, you do. No, there is a problem.
In fact, no, you might as well take the week off.
There is a problem, though. I didn't watch more than a quarter of the Steeler game, and they won.
And believe me, Dan Rooney's happy you didn't. All right, time now for Neil Coulon behind the steel curtain. Neil. He has nothing to complain about. It's all different now. The Steelers have won. It really brings with it a stunned silence in some ways.
First time winning a game in what, like 10 months or so, it feels like now. It's definitely a good thing, though. You've got to be excited if you're a Steelers fan to see the team actually compete and three phases of the game and not go out and completely embarrass themselves. So it's definitely a step in the right direction, even though they're still staring at a 1-4 mark.
First one in 10 months. How was the parade? No, I'm just kidding.
It was pretty good, actually. The one in my mind, the one that I had around my living room, was active. It was festive. Everyone was into it.
They bring in Levi Brown. He gets hurt. Exactly in the end, what did he do?
From everything that I heard, he warmed up and re-injured the same tricep muscle that kept him out of the entire 2012 season, and that's that. So,
wow.
not a whole lot of return on that, but they didn't give up a whole lot either. So that's, you know, them's the break sometimes in the NFL. And Kelvin Beachum, I thought, did a fairly decent job. He could have been a lot better, but considering where they had come from and the uniqueness of the situation that he continues to find himself in, game in and game out, I thought you can commend him for the job that he did. But it's not perfect, and it's not getting any easier. They're going to face another great defensive front seven next week. So hopefully he gets a week in as you know, the genuine bona fide starter. No competitions, no trades coming in. It's just, you know, prepare him to start and, you know, get out there and play.
What impressed you about this?
About the win itself, I think what was most impressive really was the play of Ben Roethlisberger, probably more than anything else. I thought he was very crisp. You know, I understand that's kind of a cliche, but his throws were on target. He was making good decisions, and he seemed to have real command over the offense. And that's something I think we've seen from him over the last couple weeks now. And the fact that he didn't turn the ball over certainly is an indication of why the Steelers were able to win this game. The ability that he has at a high level, I think everybody has seen, but he got off to a pretty slow start. And last couple games, he's looked a lot better. He looks a lot more patient and in control of what he's doing. He looks a lot more confident, and we're starting to see the results of that. So that being said, I mean, it's hard to discount the performance of the defense. The fact that they actually managed to get a takeaway in this game, another thing that we haven't seen in a very long time. It shows, you know, the team is really starting to come together, I think, just from a technical standpoint. You know, it really looked like they were kind of sloppy, out of rhythm, not really playing together at various times over the first four games. And they were able to put everything together in this and come out with a big win.
Some people have complained. In fact, I'll take this directly from Colin Cowherd's show. He was commenting about Andrew Luck. And he says that when Bruce Arians was in Indianapolis, Luck threw the ball downfield. Now he's not doing that. He said the same thing that when Bruce Arians was in Pittsburgh, they threw the ball downfield. Now with Todd Haley, they don't. Is that a legitimate, fair criticism that the criticism is Ben Roethlisberger is somewhat shackled in this offensive scheme? I think that's the criticism.
I think it really kind of depends on a game-to-game basis. I mean, there are some that they've clearly tried to attack downfield, and certainly they've taken their shots this year. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders scored in a 55-yard touchdown pass. It wasn't a 5-yard hitch and run after the catch. I mean, they were getting the ball down the field. More than anything, I would say, is the fact that Roethlisberger has missed badly when it comes to throwing deep. I mean, he's been among the bottom of the league in deep pass percentage. From a completion standpoint, let alone a scoring standpoint. I mean, I think they've given their shot, but at the same time, you have to ask, how good of a downfield passer is Ben Roethlisberger? I mean, I'm talking like 25-plus yards. Teams don't complete those on a real regular basis, but he's somewhere around, I think, like 14% in the league average is something closer to 22 or 23. It's a low percentage throw, and within Todd Haley's structured, it's more about possession. It's more about ball control. And in that regard, I can see where, you know, they might say that he doesn't try to throw the ball deep all that much, you know, in comparison to some other teams within the offense. I think that they're running stuff that's more fit to their scheme and their personnel. And to whatever end, to whatever success Bruce Arians had in Indianapolis, it seems like Andrew Luck is having more of that now. Until last night, at least, from what I saw. And it's not as if the Steelers were, you know, a high-octane offense when Arians was around anyway. I mean, you know,
right.
I don't think Haley has necessarily improved the offense top to bottom, but it hasn't taken, you know, large steps backward either. They haven't produced top to bottom, and a good chunk of that, I think, is based on personnel more than it is, you know, the coordination of where the offense is going.
The Jets have been a team that certainly is the focal point every week because of Rex Ryan, and they actually are off to a very good start. So what did you think of the fact it was a win against this team, or is it tempered by the fact that it's a rookie quarterback at the helm?
I would say right now it's probably more the fact that they played against a rookie quarterback. The Jets are I really like the foundation that they have in place now. They have some really good young players on that team, and you see them on the defensive side of the ball. They're without Santonio Holmes. They really didn't have much of a strong offensive presence. I mean, they didn't even have Kellen Winslow for that game. You have to look at that, and you have to look at the fact that they don't really have a high-end running back in that system. And you have a rookie quarterback that is, you know, kind of struggling here and there, but he's also shown some really good things. I mean, I thought he made some really good throws against the Steelers. And he's the type of player that's going to improve with each snap that he gets. And I think you're going to see the Jets, you know, a contending team in another year or two. What held them back, though, were both of those interceptions that he threw were not smart passes. They looked lazy to me more than anything else. He just kind of, you know, saw something happening and, all right, well, I'm just going to put it up in the air here and see what happens. And you know, there are some quarterbacks that do that in the league, and, you know, they can get a fairly high level of success taking those risks, but you're going to get burned by it as well. And to this point, I think Smith has had, you know, more down moments than up moments, but he's not a complete disaster either. So, you know, I think the Jets are a solid team, but they're not a great one right now. They're probably a 500-ish team at the end of the year. But that defensive line is going to really cause problems for a lot of teams this season.
Well, let's go to the next part. A win can sometimes jumpstart, but the schedule has to fit it as well. What does the schedule look like for the Steelers over the next 3 weeks, where there are opportunities, in your opinion, for wins?
I think they're able to beat Baltimore. I think they're able to beat Oakland after that, and I think they're able to beat New England. I mean, the Steelers aren't, they haven't proven themselves as a real high-level team yet, but I don't see that in Baltimore, Oakland, or even New England at this point either. You really just don't know what you're going to get from Baltimore week in and week out right now. They have a great front seven, and that's really kind of making them hang on, but their receivers have been wildly inconsistent. Their offensive line is arguably worse than Pittsburgh's is right now, which says a lot. They're not able to protect Joe Flacco at all, and you can tell Flacco does not have that chemistry with his receivers the way that he did with Dennis Pitta and Anquan Boldin. If you were to go back on it to draft day, I don't think the Ravens trade Boldin if they know Dennis Pitta is going to be out for an extended period of time. I mean, it really shook up what they're trying to do on offense. And their offensive line hasn't gelled at all, you know, with the additions of a bunch of new guys that they've brought in there. They're running the ball, you know, among the worst in the league, which is really strange considering the amount of success that they've had on the ground over the last couple of years. With Oakland, I mean, you have a young quarterback. I don't know if he's technically a rookie or not, but Terrell Pryor didn't play last season. He's in there now. He does some good things as well, and he does a lot of dumb things. You know, I don't think it's too much of a surprise. Between Oakland, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh, their quarterback has been sacked, I think, more than all but two other guys in the league. It's symptomatic of the combination, you know, in Baltimore and Pittsburgh, you have rough offensive lines, and in Oakland, you've got a rookie quarter or a young quarterback, I should say, without a whole lot of experience. So those things, you really don't know what you're going to get. It's a consistency issue, and just because of that and the way that the ball can bounce sometimes, I don't think the Steelers are out of line for suggesting they can win both of those games. And I don't think New England really top to bottom is all that strong of a team either. You know, they've taken on injuries. Doesn't look like their offense has a whole lot of rhythm right now either. Certainly that can change, you know, 3 weeks from now, but it's fully possible they win two or three out of this, which obviously would be good, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won all three of them. But you know, we gotta worry about the Ravens. Obviously, that's the big competition for them. You know, considering the division, I don't think they can lose more than two more if they legitimately want to make a run at the playoffs right now, though. That's for sure.
Then, in your opinion, how important is the next month to shape whatever season it is?
It's everything. They're going to have to win. You know, if they want to even look at competing for the postseason, which, you know, personnel decisions can be made on that throughout the year. I think they're pretty much going to have to win their next four if they want to, you know, legitimately look at it. You can't really even talk about the playoffs until you're looking at about 500. But the AFC North really is not that strong top to bottom, I don't think. I didn't think that going into this season. So, you know, with five division games left, you never know. I mean, it's happened, what, once in history? A team has swept their division and not made the playoffs. So they can come close to that at least. I mean, 5-1, you got to think they're going to be competitive into the end if that's what they can do.
Neil, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Wow. All that positive stuff. I mean,
it's too positive now.
I mean, he's got him winning every game.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a little optimistic. I mean, of the next three games, two out of three, okay, I might be able to buy that. I don't see three out of three, and I definitely am not holding much hope for playoffs. But I do agree with him. I don't think they can afford to lose maybe one more game, let alone two.
See? He's back. Today's show brought to you by Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland, and News Radio 1070 WKOK. We just mixed in the other parts in the background. Impressive. You sit back and you're like, I mean, do you really still want to be a part of this?
There are days when I question that.
Bob, are you having a good time?
Bob left. He's gone.
Bob left.
Bob has left the building.
We only did one segment. He quit.
I know.
I mean, really? This doesn't happen on the mark.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know where he went. He's gone. I think you're gone now. Oh, there you are.
Well, no, you may have to switch over to the other one.
I don't know. Everybody left me all of a sudden.
What happens when WMC walks into the building. When WMC walks in and people are like, WMC, why moan and complain?
You've warned me that I was gonna get that it was gonna cost me one of these days. That my sadness was gonna make all my friends leave.
But notice how we aren't sad.
That's because you're not passionate.
What are you talking about? I'm not passionate. Play back those cuts from the other day.
They were all right.